I've got about 10 seconds to tell you how to get 2-for-1 tickets for top draw comedy nights near you, thanks to our friends at the TV channel Dave at absoluteradio.co.uk. Also, I've got to tell you about how you can win prizes while you're there too. I've run out of time, though. Frank Skinner.
Absolute Radio. Good morning. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. I'm with Emily and I'm with Gareth.
Hello.
Welcome home, Frank.
Thank you so much. And in case you don't know and you're tuning in and you're thinking, what's with the welcome home stuff, I've just been in South Africa for, I think it was 34 days.
Oh, what was going on there?
Well, until about 2 weeks ago, there was a World Cup competition.
All right. Yeah. Then what?
And then the England team flew home 2 weeks before I did, which I think is very rude to leave early, you know.
Oh, I hate it when you're the last one at the party when the lights come on.
Oh, yes. So anyway, it was a fabulous time, but it's great to be back. I've got to be straight with
you. Can I just say we really did miss you, genuinely.
Oh!
No, because...
Hold on.
That's the morning!
Yes! I have returned.
We like the other clients, Frank.
Yes.
But... we wanted our big daddy back.
Well, there's no answer to that. But no, that's fabulous news. And I didn't get killed. All that worry about getting killed in South Africa didn't happen, as you may have guessed.
It's a nasty wound you've got there.
Yeah, well, that was because I didn't bring the girlfriend anything back. Yeah, no, but I...
Did you get Kath a present?
I bought her a T-shirt with a Vuvuzela design.
Oh, right. Ambassador, you're spoiling us.
Exactly. It was a bit that. And that was just how it was greeted. In fact, it's still in the brown paper bag on the table in the living room.
Well, I'm with Kath on that. I mean, would it have killed you?
I thought, well, I'm not a big... you know, I get present stress.
Oh, that bodes well for my birthday tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll talk about that later, maybe. Anyway, if you want to text us about anything at all, and I mean anything... well, not anything. There's one news story we can't discuss. But apart from him, 8-12-15, you can call us on any time. Legend, some people think. Anyway, so, I had a fabulous time. I was really worried about it, you see. And then, you know what Mark Twain said? I've had a lot of terrible things in my life and most of them never happened.
It's true.
And it was like that. I got fretful that I was going to get macheted by gangs in Johannesburg. Mm. And in fact, it was mainly I sat in beautiful restaurants and just talked to
and a shopping centre as well.
There was a lot of shopping centres. We did, because as you may know, we did the radio show basically behind the shop window.
Yeah.
Which is a bit different for this. I mean, you get the odd newsreader and that wander past. But here there were people who would just stand and really stare at you while you were doing the show.
What, were you like in Dixon's or something?
Yeah, we were in Dixon's. Oh, it was like doing Radio Top Shop, like Paul McKenna used to do. Nobby, as he's known. Yeah, we...
Neil Francis does that now.
Oh.
That's what I heard. Yeah,
but it's not official. He just sits at a desk with a Dan Set recorder. I mean, it should be stopped.
Welcome to Debenham.
who are you? Never mind that. Just play this disc. I mean, it's not right. But, a man came with an enormous, like, handlebar moustache and just stood twirling it at the window and waving to us.
Really?
I mean, for about half an hour. Luckily,
he thought it was a sauna or something.
Well, he was over my shoulder, I'm happy to say. The first time, can I say, I've had a man with a handlebar moustache over my shoulder. But he was staring straight at Dave. And Dave, as you may know, is David Baddiel, comedy partner on this whole exercise, and Dave got very unnerved by the whole thing. Yeah, he looked like a military man. I thought it was Sir Jock Stirrup for a moment, because he's out of work now. I've had a lovely email. Could I have a better welcome back than this? It says, "Welcome back, Frank. Dearest Frank, Gareth and Emily, the Philly girls just want to say we missed you so much while you were away." Now, the Philly girls, in case you don't know, are some fabulous girls in Philadelphia who used to listen to us. I think after they'd basically been on the lash all night, they'd go back and then listen to this show. And it sounds great if you're completely smashed, apparently. And then they would do songs from Annie and "It's a Hard Knock Life for Us." Nah, Sandy, I'm going to call him Sandy. And
I love Frank's medley.
Kind of stuff. And And they said, we did feel we saw you because ESPN, the sports network over in the States, thanks for the explanation,
yeah,
camera guy kept panning to people wearing masks of your face in the crowd at various games. Is that true?
Is that true?
Or was that just you?
I think that was probably... that was either me or...
Or just a lot of people from Birmingham.
Or that bloke from...
is maybe what it was,
yeah,
Bang.
They just interpreted that as someone with a terrible mask on.
It could have been the bloke from... How dare you.
I realised what I said as I said that. I didn't... Oh, dear.
It could have been him from Wild at Heart, couldn't it? What's he called? Stephen...
Steve Tompkins.
Oh, that's
Steve
your looky like.
Yeah, Stephen, and they filmed Wild at Heart there. The driver we had kept saying, oh, yeah, I've driven Stephen Tompkinson a few times.
Oh.
And I said, someone once said I looked like him.
What does he say?
He didn't say anything, which meant I knew what he meant by that.
What?
He sort of went, uh-oh. Like, I look like, if you could imagine such a thing, a worse version of Stephen Tompkinson. Stephen Tompkinson, after he'd been, say, been missing for 3 weeks and they dragged him out the Thames. That's what he was saying I looked like. I mean, you know, I've got a heart. These people don't realise it. I'm human.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
OK, so, look, I've got a moral dilemma.
Oh, I love a moral dilemma. Have we got a jingle for that? In fact, Gareth, you normally sing them.
Ooh. Moral dilemma, moral dilemma, moral dilemma.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe this. I think one should be able to do that at any time in life. You know, if you get up and you walk downstairs, there's a strange man in your kitchen, and you look to your right, he's standing there, you know, and he looks a bit aggressive and frightening. Look to your right, and there's the bread knife lying there gleaming in the sunlight. And then you make your decision. I think that's fine. So here's my problem. I'm going to the Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, yeah.
For in August. We'll still be doing the radio shows. Can I point that out?
Yeah.
And I've got... because I'm doing a sort of a talk show thing up there, right? It's all, I'm being paid, and they're kindly supplying me with first-class rail fare as part of the deal, right? Mm. Lovely.
Oh, that's good.
My girlfriend and her sister are going up on the same train, and she's going because they're both agents, they're being sent up by their company, but they're standard fare.
Right.
Oh.
Now, is it all right to travel on the same train with me in first class and them in standard fare? I mean, I can always nip in. Do you know what I'm... You know?
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean...
Don't jump to any...
Okay.
Think that, you know, don't jump and then make me feel bad. I sense there's going to be something reprimanding.
Well, you sense wrong, my friend, because I was about to say, I'm sorry, but no one can turn down the opportunity of sitting in first class.
No.
I think your girlfriend would understand that.
Yeah, I don't think it's the idea is what's plaguing me in the early hours of the morning. It's not that I should go and sit in there, but maybe I should pay for an upgrade.
Well,
but
there is, you could do that.
But she's with her sister, so we're talking, I think we're talking two upgrades. I can't I can't plot one out and leave the other.
You could do what I tried last time.
You know when the Nazis used to say you have to choose which child? I mean, I'm not playing that game.
Frankie's choice.
Yeah.
What did I do last time?
Emily's advice to me when we were sat nervously in first class was style it out.
Yeah, just style it out.
Style it out. And what happens, I mean, listeners who remember this story will remember, but if the guard comes round, the move is your girlfriend just needs to sort of hold her tummy and go, I'm actually not feeling very well, so I just sat here.
That's what I did.
She's like that all the time.
Perfect.
I think it's good, though. I tell you what, the way I'm justifying, I think it's good to have different experiences in life.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be one of these, you know, these teachers at school that were married, and you think, well, do they spend the whole life together? What do they ever talk about? Because they know what's going on. So I thought then I'll be able to tell her what, you know, what first class was like.
And it's good to have different experiences in life, but that does not include standard class travel. I'm sorry.
Well, I used to like standard class travel, but then people started saying to me, where do you get your ideas from? And I used to have long conversations about how jokes were born, and I found sullen and aggressive, and that's not the side of me I
want to
encourage.
A good look, no.
Yeah, I don't know quite what to do about it. It's difficult. The thing is, obviously, because we're both being paid for...
Mm.
If I'm being paid for and I'm then going to pay for an upgrade, I feel I've corrupted the sacred thing that is a freebie.
yeah. sacred thing that is a freebie.
No, you know, if you have a freebie, you don't want to mess with a freebie. You want it to be free. You don't want a freebie. I don't want to be sitting there thinking, well, I've got a freebie, but I've had to pay for two upgrades. So is it a freebie? Not really. That, to me, would kill the whole thing.
Mm. Well, text in, should Frank go first class or not?
Well, it's not whether I should go first class, but what I should do.
Okay.
Also, can I just say, we might be coming back on different days. As I, you know, it gets even more complicated.
Oh, dear.
I've thrown everything in, so there's all the ingredients. All you have to do is to bake that into a moral souffle. Isn't it great to be back?
This is Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
Our guest today is Andy Zaltzman, by the way. And it's not every day you get a guest whose initials cover the full range of the alphabet. I'm quite excited about that.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Because when we had Alan Alder on, I thought, oh, God, how boring is this? But now A to Z in one go. Amazing. It's like having a big map, a big ginger-haired map on the show.
Yeah.
If you can imagine such a thing. So, Emily, you witnessed a piece of broadcasting history this week.
Well, I did. I haven't been hanging out with Trevor Francis in shopping malls, but I have met a few celebrities. Mm. Yeah, I went down. It was Jonathan Ross's final show. Well, not final show ever, but final show for the BBC.
Mm.
And I was invited down.
Wow.
Natch, I was invited down.
Yeah.
But I got to meet David Beckham, Frank, which, oh my God, I was so excited. I was very nervous. I made a lot of effort in my clothes and my dress. And
but his initials are all over the place. The D to B, they're not even in chronological order. And there's a gap of, what, two letters? Two letters in the wrong order. Doesn't that sum him up? Anyway,
Frank is so good-looking, isn't he?
Oh, Andy Zaltzman. Oh, we're all different.
I felt nervous he was so good-looking.
No, he is good-looking.
You know when someone's that good-looking?
That's generally established.
But I did that thing. Oh, yeah, but I wasn't expecting that.
She did well.
Oh, she did well. I was almost sick. He was so good-looking. I shook his hand. He went, hello, nice to meet you. I went,
yeah, I bet you did. Can I say that Emily flicked her hair as she did that, in case many of you will have guessed.
I did. So that was a real treat meeting him, and it was a really nice evening.
Did he say anything other than that?
We chatted. It will remain between me and David what was said. We talked a bit. His little boy was there, Romeo, who's got an American accent, which I wasn't expecting.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. But, yeah, no, he was in very good form. But I'll tell you who was there.
Is it because he grew up in America?
Yeah.
Oh, I gathered that.
Just born like that.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, the midwife slapped his bum and he went... Anyway.
And Mickey Rourke was there. He got Jonathan some shoes. I don't know why.
Was he in a fire, Mickey Rourke?
He looks much better now. He's cut all that hair off and stuff.
But he got him some shoes?
Yeah.
I must think he's going through hard times.
Well, they weren't comedy shoes.
Walking shoes.
No. They were very nice. But listen, I'll tell you who was there, who's always there. Alan Yentob turned up. Now, he's always everywhere.
Well, the presenter of Imagine.
Yeah, but he's got some big, big job at the BBC, apparently, as well. Yes. But why does he always turn up everywhere?
Because he's got a big job at the BBC.
No, but come on. I mean, he does always like to be at the centre of the action, I find, Yentob. Yes. Like, I'd be talking to a friend. I went to hug a friend and he just suddenly leapt in.
What, between the hugs?
Between hugs.
Oh, no, I don't want a Yentob sandwich. At any time. Oh, well, it sounds exciting.
Oh, it was great. Oh, but talking of sandwich, so David Baddiel was there.
Ah.
And we're in the green room. And David Baddiel had a go
talking
at me.
Talking of sandwich?
Yeah, because...
Oh, right.
I was eating sausage rolls.
Oh.
And David said, do you realise that's the fourth sausage roll you've eaten tonight?
Oh, no.
He was counting.
He was counting my sausage roll intake. What do you think of that?
Did you eat four then?
Yeah. What
of it? Did you eat four at one time?
No.
Oh no! Like a cricket glove. Just like a cricket glove was disappearing down the gullet.
Did he have a stop clock? Stopwatch?
Did he get the claw out? Have you seen Dave's claw? Oh man! If you're with Dave and you get like a bag of nuts or some sweets, before you've opened them, his right hand forms into a claw, a dipping claw. Before you've opened them, I bought them in the shop. I haven't actually paid, and I've looked around. The right hand's already become a claw, ready to go in. Oh man, I'm surprised. I'm sure he'd have out sausage rolled you or anyone else for that matter.
Well, he did get after I'd had. He said, "I can't believe you've eaten four. Do you think it's okay if I have one?"
I like the voice.
I know that's my David impression.
It's very good. I do it without thinking. For a second. I was looking for the claw everywhere.
We only have this. This is Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
Now, Frank, you know you had a moral dilemma regarding your girlfriend and first-class travel.
Yes, I think some people have texted us on 8, 12, 15.
I think they have. We've had one in from Craig saying, last year I got a free VIP pass to the Latitude Festival. My girlfriend suggested she buy a ticket and that I then camp with her in the normal people area.
Ooh.
And he's used little quotes for normal, which endears me to him. Morally, I knew what to do, but selfishly, I didn't. So I convinced her that she couldn't afford it and that I couldn't miss out on clean showers and loos. I don't know how, but she agreed.
Oh, really?
Mm. You had the offer, Frank, not your missus. You know what to do. Good luck, Craig.
You see, I can't see it in those black and white terms.
Well, no. And not everyone agrees with him either.
No.
Because we've had another...
We've had Wood Frank's girlfriend upgraded.
Wood Frank, is that his name?
Wood Frank.
Is he some bloke sitting at home covered in Cuprinol? Is he that kind of a character?
I don't know who it is. It said, would Frank's girlfriend upgrade him if she had a freebie?
Oh, well, you see, she doesn't have as much money as I have, but I think if she's the sort of person
I think
would.
She
she's
would.
Very selfless.
She's a good person.
She's
she
more
would.
Selfless than I am, I'll be honest with you.
Right. Another text in saying, hi, Frank, of course your girlfriend and sister should go first class. You can afford it. Let them travel in style and comfort. They deserve it.
Is that from my girl?
Yeah, I think it might well be.
It has a tone about it, I find. Well, maybe that's right. Maybe I should just go for it and do the honourable thing. I mean, it's only money. You can't take it with you.
Although Luke says people would expect a man of your status to be travelling first class by train and would be disappointed if you didn't.
Yeah, but that doesn't get me out of the upgrade.
No, it doesn't.
No, exactly.
No, we're not suggesting you should go in standard class. That's...
No, that's
unthinkable.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to suggest that. That'd be ridiculous.
I mean, they could just, as long as you're moving through first class, they can just walk back and forth.
All for the whole trip.
Yeah.
It's four and a half hour journey. Too,
oh, it'd be good exercise.
It's an idea, though. People could do that. Couldn't they spend the whole trip as long as they keep moving? I was thinking that. You know when you pull
like
into
a shark?
You know a yellow box on the road?
Oh,
the
I know a yellow
box. You can't
box.
Go into if your if your exit's blocked. Well, I'll go in and then I think, oh, I'm stuck in it now. And I move incredibly slowly because then I think if they show me, when they show me the camera footage in court, I say, well, I didn't stop. I was just very slowly making my way towards the exit. I don't know if that would work.
I hate it when they take those traffic pictures. I had one taken once. I was going to deny.
You know what? I hate poverty.
No, but Frank,
that's the difference between me and you.
I was going to deny it was me, and then you could see me in the actual car flicking my hair with a cigarette in one hand and flicking my hair with the other.
No.
I couldn't deny it after that.
No, that would be wrong. So, now, there's been some terrible news. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the BBC have made a decision that they are not going to commission the fourth series of The Restaurant, which of course features Raymond Blanc. I mean, I don't know if you knew about this, Gareth. I'm sorry to break it to you so suddenly.
Well, Raymond's gone very quiet recently.
Yes,
maybe that's why.
Him?
I thought he was upset about something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
they're not
what
gonna
it is.
Commission. They've had three good series, I would say. I've never watched it, but I'd just like to know that it's on. You know, I can feel that it's on.
Yeah.
I can feel it in my marrow. Sort of.
I like Raymond's got very quiet recently. What, you haven't been into his cafe as a punter?
Yes, you haven't been anywhere near him because you don't know him. That's why he's been quiet. I find a lot of people I don't know are quite quiet towards me.
People are quiet when they're far away from you.
Yeah, and don't know you at all. They are. What is it with people that they're so... offish about that. Absolute
Radio. Now, listen, Frank, your moral dilemma, the listeners are loving this moral dilemma.
Mm.
We have Matt, who I think has come up with a pretty good solution.
We should explain just briefly. Yeah. I'm going to Edinburgh. My girlfriend and her sister are on the same train, but I've got first class tickets supplied by my employer, and she has standard supplied by their employer.
Yeah. So work for Frank's employer is the answer.
Yeah.
To that.
Yeah.
Morning all. Frank, what you need to do is offer your upgrade to your girlfriend and you go in the scummy bit. Well, I think that's a bit much, the scummy bit.
I don't know. My girlfriend loves it when I go in the scummy bit.
Oh, fine. Oh. Oh.
It's great to be back.
The producer still got her hand over her mouth.
Well,
so
the producer said that David Baddiel grabbed her muffin. With the claw. The claw came out. Am I right, Emma?
Yes.
When we're in South Africa, he took the top off her muffin.
Did he?
Yeah. And the top, it was one of those muffins where all the good stuff is on the top. You know what I mean?
Oh, like the poppy seed. And
Well, I think it was, it might have been savoury. Was it savoury, Emma?
It was savoury.
So it had all the melted cheese.
He didn't get
stuff.
The claw out.
To me, when you get one of those muffins, the base of the muffin is no more than a stand for the top. The top is what it's all about. And the claw came out and took the top off
the
muffin.
The Baddiel claw?
Yeah,
claw.
It was out. I don't think you can help it. It's like a terrible sort of food lobster. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, so this is Matt's solution. What you need to do is offer your upgrade to your girlfriend and you go in the scummy bit. She will, of course, say no because she won't want to leave her sister. You are then seen as the gent but still have your freebie guilt-free. Sorted.
The problem with that, you see, is I get on very well with her sister, so she'll think, oh, great, they'll have a great time in there.
And I'll
get free mini pretzels.
Yes, you're right.
It's a good idea, but, you see, there's a flaw.
There's another text which says, Frank...
There's always a flaw!
Frank, workers working first.
My carpet fitting days. Just to wake up like at 3 o'clock in the morning shouting there. Carry
Frank,
on.
Listen to this text.
Sorry.
Frank, workers working first, gossips gossiping coach. Claim that the journey has found its natural balance.
Yeah, I could try that. Marvellous.
We've had a lovely email from Matt, age 14, from Durham.
Oh, yeah. Durham.
Welcome back, Frank.
Lovely, big cathedral and slightly dark skies.
I like Durham.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
I have missed you loads while you've been in South Africa. I've listened to your World Cup podcast with David Baddiel, which have been very good, but I'm very glad you are back.
Me too.
By the way, I would upgrade your girlfriend and her sister. On the other hand...
Going off him.
Who cares if you're apart for 4.5 hours and standard classes is not that bad?
See, that's a good argument. I mean, I've just been away for 5 weeks. So what's another 4.5 hours? I hadn't thought of that argument.
I also like the 14-year-old who says, standard class is not that bad.
Yes.
He's my kind of guy.
He will be, give him about 3 years.
Exactly.
And someone else said, just get some walkie-talkies so you can still talk to them and you can wave through the window.
We got mobiles.
That's
apart from the tunnels, we can have a perfectly normal conversation all the way.
I like that. You should say, look, I really want to talk to you throughout the journey, so here's two cups joined by a piece of string.
Yeah.
Maybe we could Skype.
Yeah.
Two cups joined by a... Is this how the bra was invented? Do you think that's what happened with the bra? A woman was on one end of a cup talking to another woman, and then when she rolled it all in, she thought, hold on a minute, if I just tighten this string, that's really uplifting. I'm thinking that's how it might have happened. Anyway, answers on a postcard. I think we should ask for postcards. I mean, texting's all very well.
Oh, I love a postcard.
I'd like a nice little pile of correspondence.
Oh, I like that, Frank.
That's great. Thank you very much for your responses to all this. I'm moving towards upgrading them, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, good boy.
I feel that's the way the way the crowd's going.
Mm.
The trouble is, last time I was on in business class, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I couldn't find the door. I was there for ages trying to find the door.
Hunter.
It's clear enough, door hunter. Don't pick me up on stuff. I won't be picked up.
That's the morning.
Yes, thanks again for your text and stuff. I was. Can I recommend?
Yeah.
That you watch. We are now in the final days, as they say in the Bible. The end. The end times. Right. As far as GMTV is concerned.
Yeah.
And they've adopted what I think I've spotted a sort of a scorched earth policy on there, where anything goes. They've gone a bit mad.
So nothing to lose now.
Nothing to lose.
It's gone a bit Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, they've all gone a bit slightly. That's odd looking. Andrew Castle.
Oh.
Is that what he's called, Andrew Castle?
Yeah.
I believe he's got Tourette syndrome.
What's that?
Andrew Castle.
Now he's, I thought it really was something.
I'll keep up, Emily.
Thank you. I think he might have got drunk and cut his own hair.
Wow.
He's got that look about him.
Is he wild-eyed as well?
He has, but he look, he's—you know—he used to have that bouffant air, which is very GMTV. And I knew he thought to himself that you know the young mums and that will find this very reassuring, you know. And they need a bit of reassuring that time of the morning before the sherry's kicked in.
Yeah.
And now he's—it's sort of hacked and looks a bit greasy, like he might have been sleeping rough.
It's gone native.
I'm loving the way they've gone wild.
Yeah.
They had. I tell you who they had on. They had one is known as Four Puffs and a Piano.
Oh, yeah, from Jonathan's show.
Well, exactly. No, it never occurred to me that... You know when there's like a big bushfire and several people are killed? And then you think, oh, that's terrible, people have died. And then about 3 or 4 days into the story, someone says, of course, no one even thinks about the wildlife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it is with Four Puffs and a Piano. Thinking, well, Jonathan Ross, poor Jeff. And then you think, well, what are they going to do? And they did a song about being out of work.
Did they?
And stuff. And some of the GMTV people were joining in. It was a marvellous. It was like the Jarrow March. It was incredible.
And she's still there, that Emma Crosby, isn't she? She's the most bland-looking woman.
Well, I know what you mean about bland, but I think she's taken blandness to a new level till it's become a weapon. Yeah, because she is almost deliberately bland, I think. I think now she looks wanton with it now. Look, no, I will not say anything of any note.
Yeah.
There was a bit where she said to Jordan, you're a great mum, aren't you? And I thought, good on you. Just say anything. Brilliant. And because Jordan, I'll have to tell you about Jordan after that was a whole thing.
Why?
GMTV at the moment, I totally recommend it. They're going to do something really, I think they're going to do something really bad on it.
Oh, I hope so. They'll be in it. But you know, I think the other thing is they should start trashing the place. Like Ben Shepherd as well should come on. Like they should do interviews in superhero costumes or something.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Welcome, Frank. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank Skinner. Radio. Anyway, then they had Jordan on.
Right, yeah.
GMTV. Now, I used to quite like Jordan.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with people like her, really. I think that's, you know, people like her and she makes a living and blah, blah. And then I'm just watching her being interviewed and halfway through I had a sudden, almost like a convulsion, and I thought, no, this isn't good enough, is it? I think this has to be stopped. And I suddenly became very outraged about Jordan.
In what way?
Well, for a start off, there was one thing that she said. She was talking about the outfit she was wearing. I wrote this down, actually. And she said, well, she says, you know what I'm like. And I thought, well, no, obviously not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be popular. People really knew what was at your dark core, I thought. Then you wouldn't have that kind of genial middle-aged woman in the supermarket. Oh, she's all right, Katie. You wouldn't have that, you know. So I thought, well, that's wrong, for a starter. And then it said that she wore... she was wearing a jacket. When I say it, let me rephrase that. She said she was wearing a jacket made of human hair.
Oh, well, dear. Wow,
that can't be right, can it?
How did
she get it? From heads.
Has she been, like, hanging around barbers and collected it herself?
I think she has people to do
I
that.
I think okay. I've seen said jacket.
Have you really?
Yeah. It's got sort of... If it was human hair, it would be like Mel Gibson's ex-girlfriend hair. Like, very long, black, straight hair.
With a bit of blood on it. Yeah. I thought there was a hint of scurf. I'll be honest. Anyway, yeah, she got on and she did a new single, which...
new single?
Yes.
Mm. What is it?
It's called Free to Love Again.
Free to Love Again.
Free to Love Again.
Yeah. No, but what I liked about it... You see, I can't believe now that we're taking it... Because I thought Jordan was beyond having a go at it, because I just thought, you know, she's gone through that stage and now she's not so much a national treasure, but national. And then... Like I say, I was outraged by it. And then she said that one of her children had said to her, oh, when you get your photo top, Mummy, why don't you just smile like Daddy does? Mm. And I thought, what a lovely thing for a child to say. And a bit of, you know, life coaching from a minor.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen every day. And she said, well, I told her, you know, they get money for those photos. And I thought, well, you're still in a terrible cynicism into these.
I know what you mean. At the start,
of course, the GMTV presenters were dancing round and round. holding lighted torches by this stage. Because
were they wearing loincloths?
That's the that, they'll be doing it naked. I tell you, by the time they come to the last program, they'll be naked.
Ben Shepherd in pants.
Just smeared in dirt. And they'll be eating raw meat and making threatening remarks about Christine Bleakley. That's the way I think it's going on GMTV. And I've certainly Sky-plussed it for that very moment.
It's a new one called Daybreak. Is that what the new one's called?
That's what the new one's called.
Because that sounds like a vampire movie. So it'll probably just be a seamless progression.
Well, I think the problem that they're going to have with it is that GMTV will have become such a cult classic by then. You know, they've had two deaths in a month on it. People are going to start tuning in, you know, like a vampire movie. And then what's going to follow that? Anyway, Andy Zaltzman is our guest today, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, yeah, I saw him loitering.
What a lovely and funny man he is.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Andy Zaltzman has arrived in the studio.
Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's great to see you. And Thanks. Let's get straight to it.
Messing around. You're about to
set off to Edinburgh soon for an Edinburgh show. You've done Edinburgh a lot, haven't you?
Too much, yes.
Do you think too much?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Oh, we've started on a negative note.
Let's judge that at the end of August. I've done...
We'll get you back on to see if that was prophetic or just pessimistic.
It's my 10th Edinburgh.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's... How many have you done?
You know, I've never quite worked that out.
You must have done about 50.
No, I haven't done that many. Okay. So I've had big gaps, but I've probably done about that many over the with gaps. Yeah. So, are you? What if people come and see Andy Zaltzman live? What should they see in Edinburgh? What will happen?
Well, it'll be I'll basically be solving all of the major social and political problems affecting the planet. Okay. So, you know, it's really...
How long is this show?
Well, 20 minutes. No, it's 70 minutes. So it's 10 minutes longer than the average Edinburgh show. So in terms of value for money, per minute basis, then, you know, it's the hot ticket, frankly.
Yeah.
That might be the only scale on which it is the hot ticket, but nevertheless.
So you've gone for the extra 10 minutes. That's quite unusual, because no one does more than an hour in Edinburgh.
Well, I like to have a bit of extra space, and I do a show in the afternoon. So it's a slightly more relaxed thing than an evening show.
Will there be croissants?
I don't know. Depends.
You've changed.
Well, maybe that could be my merchandising. I've never done merchandising because obviously no one wants Andy Zaltzman memorabilia. But maybe the Andy Zaltzman croissant could be.
Yeah, get some printed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could get some made like they have in Japanese restaurants. That's hard plastic things. So, I've been reading up on you, Andy. Right. There's some things I never knew, which are kind of fascinating. You're the son of a sculptor.
That's right. Yes.
Now, I used to live in the same house as a sculptor, and there was clay everywhere.
Yes.
Did you grow up in a dirty house?
No, not well. My dad always had a studio, so he'd disappear off.
Right.
Was
it adjacent or
another
part of town?
No, it was a few miles away.
Oh, okay.
So that and a little barn in the countryside. So he just lock himself away sculpting all day and come home covered in wax. So we assume it was sculpting. It could have been anything. But
he could have been removing bodily hair.
that is possible.
Well, it's a fascinating upbringing. Yeah. I don't think I've ever met the son of a sculptor before. No. Well,
that means you had an arts and crafts upbringing. That's like me.
Yeah, we're all very arts.
Yeah, we're very arts and crafts here.
But I'm absolutely 100% incompetent at all practical things.
Have you had a go at sculpting?
Not really. When I was obviously at school...
Good reply, not really. What does he mean with... How can you not really have a go at sculpting?
I sculpt with words, Frank.
Ah, of course!
I had to do a design project at school, and everyone in my year at school had to do the same thing. We had to make a little key ring, and out of 125 boys who did it, I got the lowest mark.
Oh,
it was.
What was the nature of your keyring?
Well, it was supposed to be in a I don't know, sort of pear sort of shape, and mine was the wrong shape and
terrible task to set children.
So it went
making
keyrings a bit on pear shape.
It was disastrous. You know, I've never recovered psychologically.
See,
I can't look at a saw again.
That thing that kids do when they get their dad to help them with their homework. Yeah. You should have done one out of marble.
Yeah,
like 8 feet high.
Yeah.
That would have been marvellous.
Absolute Radio.
Andy Zoltzman is our guest this morning. Andy's doing an Edinburgh show, but also, Andy, you're part of a sort of a, I would call it a cult.
A cult?
Which is...
that makes me sound like I'm about to lock their doors and get everyone to pray and then kill themselves.
No, that's...
Different kind of
cult. You're doing GMT in the near future. No, but you do a thing called The Bugle.
That's
you,
right.
Which is, can you tell... But anyone who hasn't heard of The Bugle, can you tell us what it
is? Well, it's a podcast that I do with John Oliver, who you might know from the Daily Show in America. And so he's in New York and I'm in London, and we talk about stuff that's happened in the world. And so it's half an hour of prime nonsense stroke satire every week. So, yeah, and we've sort of acquired listeners in all over the world. And get sort of letters from a guy in Uruguay and... And someone in Antarctica, we had our
not
first...
Not a linesman, is he?
Sorry?
The guy in Uruguay is not a linesman. So you get terrible confessional letters from him. I made the mistake, why don't you get off of my back? That's brilliant, though.
Yeah, so and we had an email from someone listening in Antarctica, which is...
Wow.
Yeah, the joys of modern technology.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, so you never actually meet with John Oliver when you do it. You're in a studio and he's in a studio...
Yeah,
in
so
America.
Yeah, down a magic phone line. So it's odd sort of bantering with someone at a range of 3,000 miles, but it seems to work. Mostly.
See, I wanted to do that from South Africa. I wanted to carry on doing this show. I was told it just simply couldn't be done.
We were told a very firm no.
Well, I've been given a bomb steer. Get under. That was a horse. That was a horse, wasn't it? Is a steer a horse? It's a cow, isn't it?
A steer?
No, that's a horse.
That's a horse.
I go
with
horse. Yeah, I have an idea it's a cow, but it sounded like a horse. Yeah. So I'm going with you. So that's continuing.
Yes, that's every week. So yes. So if you haven't heard the news and you want a completely false version of it every week, then I can recommend The Bugle highly.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's another great advert.
A mixture of twisted facts and outright lies.
Yeah. I love false news. Yeah.
So one thing I read about you, and this is you're obsessed with puns.
Puns?
Puns. P-U-N-S.
Oh, puns.
Oh, God, we're having a language barrier. Can I get my voice synthesizer? Puns. Puns.
Well, I like puns. I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with them, but I have little outbreaks.
You see, people say to me, you like a pun, don't you? But I don't like a pun.
Right.
I find...
feel a pun.
Well, it's like saying to somebody with Tourette's, you like swearing. I can't help. I really can't help it. Do you find that?
Yes, generally. I think that's the main thing I inherited from my father. He's aside from sculpting, he...
Was a big punner.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's true of all sculptors.
Well, I heard that Henry Moore, he loved it. He loved the pun.
I like the idea of Andy's father sculpting whilst punning.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Whereas Jacob Epstein, he liked observation and stuff, mainly.
And Rodin was just blue, just filthy.
Yeah,
filthy
you couldn't,
stuff.
I mean, let's not go into Rodin stuff.
But no, and that's the joy of having a podcast, as I'm sure you know, is you don't really have anyone say you can't do that, so it means that I can do runs of 30 puns about dogs in 2 minutes.
Yeah, but you see, I look back on my puns and think, I just wish I hadn't. I honestly think people hate puns. Most people hate puns.
Well, I think...
Yeah,
if
they
you look
do.
At someone like Tim Vine, you see, the key is don't back down. So, you know, he is obviously the master of the pun, and he has no plan B, essentially. And he breaks you down, you know. Even if you don't like puns, I would argue that if you're trapped in a room with someone who is just doing nothing but puns, after 10 minutes you crack, and then they become disproportionately funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could try that out.
Yeah, maybe not live on radio. I don't know.
No, not live on radio. I'm thinking it's a little feature on GMTV.
Yeah, I think the Americans were using it as well as waterboarding, a torture by pun.
Well, you could be called in.
Yeah.
At any moment.
This is Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
There's been stuff in the paper this week about hairstyles. And Laura has radically changed her hairstyle.
Oh, there's a thing that women have 104 hairstyles in their lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, what rubbish. I've only had two. And the only other one was when I was 11 and they made me look like Juliet Bravo. And I didn't go back there. Anyway, as you were.
Laura has... And also, there was a thing about blondes being paid more.
Well, I think we all know that's true.
Well, it depends what they're doing.
Depends which alley you're in.
Was it Jill Gascoigne?
Jill Gascoigne, The Gentle Touch.
Oh, wasn't she Juliet Bravo?
No, that was someone else.
Okay.
She was The Gentle Touch. I was in that. Anyway.
Were you? Mm. It's the last Gentle Touch you've had. So, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so Laura has gone blonde.
Laura, she wanted, I should say, is Garrett's wife.
Yeah.
She wanted listeners. To... She's a teacher, so she's off over the summer.
Is it proper for a teacher to go blonde?
Well, it's the summer, so she can, you know, she can do as she likes.
Yeah. It's then, a bit Ruth Ellis, though, isn't it?
Well, you don't know what sort of blonde...
Ruth Ellis was the last British person, woman, to be hanged in...
So that's a cheering thought for you.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
So, no. Gareth...
Oh, well, I don't remember Alexander the Great, but I know who he is. Once again, someone has mistaken history with memory.
I do remember Alexander the Great, well, on the other hand. I was there around that time. Gareth, what sort of shade of blonde? Because I sometimes find in the street I want to go up to these women and go, stop, you've gone too blonde. And I do sometimes. But in Laura's...
Don't call Laura these women.
No, but Laura's actually got a very pretty face and and a fair colouring, and I think she could carry it off.
Yeah, what, no. You mean really blonde? Like Ruth Ellis, the last woman
she's got
to
big
be
eyes.
In Britain in 1955.
Her aim was Gwen Stefani. That was what she was going for.
No, I think her aim was that played by Rupert Everett. But she hit the wall of the Magdala twice before she actually got him. Oh, sorry, you're right. Oh, Gwen Stefani. Well, Gwen Stefani is a very beautiful woman. I don't think there's any dispute about that.
Anyway, it's been very interesting, the difference. So one thing is I don't recognise her. Mm. Like, you know, you have an instinctive recognition of
someone you're
close to. The
clue that she lives in your house.
Yeah. But, like, I was waiting to get picked up from the train station by her. I saw our car coming towards me.
I thought, who is R? R is some mysterious figure we just call R.
R Cumming? I thought it was E Cumming's brother.
Yeah. I saw our car coming towards us, and then I thought, oh, no, it's a blonde person. It can't be it. And then realised it was...
But how long was this after she'd had it dyed?
Just in the next few days.
So it took a while for you to get used to it.
But still, I have to... I double take. And, but the other thing is, we went shopping.
Yes, and you do double take. Some people just take, but you. That poor woman, no wonder she's gone blonde. She's gone white! Like Marie Antoinette.
She got treated so well when we went shopping. Before, we've just gone shopping and
people... think she's an albino. And, I mean, they get a lot of public sympathy, and quite rightly. I mean, Johnny and Edgar Winter, they were led across the road at times. They were perfectly...
Yes, people are nicer to you when you're blonde. I found, although...
Is this a known thing?
Well,
were you shocked?
I briefly went a bit blonder, aside from Juliet Bravo, which, Frank, you might remember, this was some years ago. And I can't really do it because I'm quite dark.
Look at your Andy
featured.
Warhol face.
Well, I did look a bit arms dealer's wife because the eyebrows. I was treated very well in Knightsbridge, but that was it, really.
But I thought what women always say is that they get more attention from men when they go blonde.
No, yeah,
but other women, I don't know about that. But other women in
shop. Oh, he got a bit defensive there, didn't he?
I brought that up.
Oh, something's happened.
I didn't mean no arm bite, Mr. Holmes.
Your demographic changes, though, is what I'll say.
Has she changed, though? Is she a different person now she's blonde?
I don't know. I think maybe a little bit.
Just hard a second. I'll be with you in one moment.
Well, it's hard to answer these questions off the arm.
It's a Gareth moment, and I enjoy it.
It is like Hello, Hello, because first she was like the brunette waitress, and now she's the blonde waitress.
Well, the it's blonde like waitress the is world. Much less attractive, though.
Well...
The blonde waitress, I think, is a person who's tried to overcompensate for not being... Because some people think, well, if I go blonde, everyone who's blonde is attractive. And
but Laura doesn't need to do that, because she's pretty anyway.
Exactly, she is attractive. I'm not disputing that for one second. Mm. Oh, God, it's been a difficult morning in many ways. What, me, a 53-year-old man, barely breathing.
That's the morning!
So, look, we've got a special showcase moment. You know, it's not often that radio stations get to showcase an exclusive new track. And maybe I should play this, and then I'll tell you who it is after. This is a brand-new song, which will be available on download from this Monday coming. And this is called Dave the Fridge. And we can't play it all. I'm just going to play you just a little bit.
My friend Dave is white, just like a fridge. Dave doesn't wash, so he gently hums, just like a fridge. His light comes on when you open the door. You can only use Dave for what Dave is for. And Dave at a party is a bit of a bore. Just like a fridge. Just like a fridge.
Yes. And that was by Gareth Richards. And Gareth Richards, you may not know, he's Gareth.
That's me.
Yeah, off of Gareth.
So that what you call it, an EP? Is it an EP?
Yeah, it's an EP.
Is that what it is, an EP?
Yeah. EP, yeah. Five songs. It's the songs from my Edinburgh show.
Yes.
And another one, probably. There's four shows.
Oh, you've done one of those additional material things that people do.
Yeah,
a little
bit extra.
So that any Gareth Richards completists have to buy, even if they've got the other tracks.
Yeah.
It's that whole thing.
And
well,
it's called,
I like it.
The EP is called These Songs Could Be Used in Adverts.
Yes. Well, let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
You've become a very rich young man. Maybe you could upgrade my sister and a girlfriend as a sort of a celebration.
I liked your little interview. It was quite Emma Crosby and Jordan, that. I enjoyed it on GMTV chat.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. He didn't say, you know what I'm like. I'm glad to say.
This year, I hope to get married again. I hope to have another baby. That's what I would say if I was Jordan.
Well, just phone Andy Saltzman if you want another baby, and he'll come round and...
Oh, yeah, he delivers.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he always delivers. I like that. So
so we're all going to be getting ready in the toilets later, aren't we?
Oh, of course, it's Emma's big... Emma?
Emma Crosby.
It's Emma Crosby's birthday today.
You're fantasising about working with her. She'll
you
be after
I
my
like her. I know you think she's bland, and I kind of agree, but there's something... I imagine you could take her home and she wouldn't upset anyone, and that's a nice thing, obviously.
No.
Another 2 weeks on GMTV, that won't be true, because she'll probably be snorting dried hamster blood. But anyway, so it's your birthday party tonight. We're
a birthday party tonight. Ooh. Now, everyone's going to be bringing their partners, which I'm really excited. So it's going to be like the Wags, meeting all the Wags.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
You'll be bringing Blondie, I presume.
Yeah, Blondie's coming.
That is exciting.
You'll have Kath. Emma's going to have Mike Newman. That's just letting you know everyone's
Mike
partner's
Newman.
Name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike.
And I'm glad she said partners. I thought she was going
to say presents. And Daisy's going to bring her boyfriend as well.
We're not allowed to call him a boyfriend. Not yet.
Yeah. We can.
For some reason. Can we?
Yeah.
She's not the boss of us.
She's mad about him, let's face it. And so there'll be presents, won't there?
I hope there's presents.
Yes.
That's instead of... Yeah, because... But what's difficult is... I am expecting presents, but I don't want to set aside a table for presents because that looks presumptuous, doesn't it?
And also, you don't want a table set aside for presents with one small thing on it.
Oh, wouldn't that be awful?
Especially if it was my present.
is your present bad?
It's a seahorse on a wet wipe. I couldn't get the tank. I couldn't get a tank that was easily transportable. And I thought, well, there's enough moisture. That's got to be 3 or 4 hours worth.
I've got you a table, so that won't work.
Oh, well, if you put that on the table, people think it's shot.
Just a stack of tables.
I wish I'd bought you a tablecloth. That would have been absolutely marvellous. Anyway, it's been fabulous to be back.
Oh, you're back now?
Yes, brilliant. And next week I'm on holiday for a fortnight.
What?
Yes.
Again?
You're going away again?
The last one was work.
You're like Fergie.
Yes, I know.
Who's going to be filling
in
now?
I had to sack all my staff. Yes, I'm going to Norway for 2 weeks.
Norway?
Yeah. Oh, that's a bit odd for a summer holiday, babe.
Well, yeah, I like Northern Europe.
Oh.
You know, we're going to go on a glacier and stuff like that.
Oh, nice beach holiday. You get your...
Oh, no, I don't like
that. Get your towel out.
I can't
on the glacier.
Swim, whereas I can, well, walk. So that'll be... I'm sorry. I thought I was going to be doing the show from South Africa, so I planned a holiday after and then... So I'm sorry, but I will be back after that, and then I'm never having another week off ever.
So we'll have
who's
clients.
Filling in this time?
Lee Mack.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, I like him.
What?
I like him.
Yeah, he's fabulous, Lee Mack. And he will be brilliant. If I had a lovely email while I was in South Africa from Absolute...
Did you?
...saying great news of podcasts... they've increased since you've been away.
They didn't say that.
So that's how they build your morale on this station. Can you believe it? That's what they said. Podcasts have increased since you've been away.
Did you say that? You got upset because it said Frank and team, and Frank was in inverted commas.
The news is about to stop. Ben Jones is banging on the glass trying to get in here.
He's like a GMTV presenter.
He does. He looks enraged to me. He looks like... I tell you what he looks like. He looks like a Charlie Brown character that just got in the pilot and then didn't get in the series. You know the one. You know the one with the baseball cap and the glasses? Oh, no, he didn't get in the series. Oh, I liked him. Anyway, Ben Jones is next. I love him, really. And I am in Norway for 2 weeks, but I love you all as well. And it's been joyous. Oh, and don't forget that although I am away, on Wednesday you'll be able to download Not the Weekend podcast, which is back, and that's all new stuff. good day to you.
We only have this excerpt.
This is Frank Skinner. Absolutely.